don't you? When you praise the Lord like that, don't you feel it inside? Does something for you every time you say, praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I've read all kind of books and list of tapes and things about people who went to heaven. And they said every time you say, praise the Lord, all of heaven does. Said everything around you then says, praise the Lord. So, what's the difference? The Bible says the whole family that's in heaven and earth. So, we're here on earth, but we're still in the family. We're connected to heaven. So, when we say, praise the Lord, all of heaven says, praise the Lord. Amen. I believe when we sing, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, I know for a fact that I've experienced it, that angels sing with us. And I know for a fact sometimes when we're worshiping, they dance. I've seen that in our in the congregation here. They dance. And not every time, not every song, but sometimes they do, you know, and they sing with us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Frank wants to give a testimony. Praise ye, Jesus. Don't you love Frank? He's better known in Chicago as Rooster.
I'd like to tell everybody that I went to the dermatologist today, and a few weeks ago I had some cancer removed from my nose and my head. And they said that when they wanted me back, and he was saying he was going to send me to a plastic surgeon for my nose. I thought, well, maybe they're going to cut it off and put another one on there. It'd be better. No. But anyway, today, Gina, she came with me this time, and we didn't want to have Coop coming into the doctor's when he was cutting on me and stuff. So she stayed at home. So today she came in the room with me and sat down there, and the doc came in, and the nurse was in there and said, I can't see anything. And he said, what was that on your nose there? I said, well, it was over there. And what about your head? He's looking at my head, and he told my wife, she's Gina, she said, you can't come up by here and look at this. And the nurse, man, she was like, and he said, I don't see a thing. And Gina, the whole time this week, she said, Frank, your cancer is gone. And I said, she said, I've been praying. And I said, everybody else has been praying. And I said, God answers prayers. And man, this old rooster, man, I was thrown all the way out, man, thanking the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That'll make you strut like a rooster. And make you crow. Hallelujah. Thank God. We prayed the other night for him, Tuesday night. The Lord answers our prayer here. Tell you, we've got tithing rights. And thank God he rebuked that. Jesus rebuked that. We claimed it, believed it, and stood on it, and Gina did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, he'll do it for you. Hallelujah. I remember one time, I was listening to Brother Hagin. He said this man was dying, and Brother Hagin said that he was a member of his church, I think, said he had prayed for him for days and things, and said he was in the hospital room where Brother Hagin was praying for him, and said the Lord Jesus appeared in the room, and he said he had the saddest look on his face, and Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, I want to heal him, but I can't. He won't let me. I want to heal him, but he won't let me. And Brother Hagin said, told that brother in the bed, he said, now, Jesus wants to heal you. Said, he's here. He said, I know he's here. said, I know he's in the room. He's standing right there, isn't he? See, he couldn't see him, but he knew he was in there. And he said, yeah, he's standing right here. He said, let him heal you. And said he got up, spun around on the bed, and started to get up, just fell back in the bed, said, I can't believe, I just can't do it. I don't know. And he said, Jesus had the saddest look. He said, I want to heal him, and I can't. You see, the Lord wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. He's not trying to keep anything from us. We just have to receive it. Just receive it, you know. Just let him do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, Frank let him do it, didn't he? Let him heal him. Praise you, Jesus. Well, open your Bibles if you want to. If you don't want to, open them anyway. That's exactly right. Chapter 13 of Matthew. Is it cold in here? Too hot? Just right. Praise the Lord. This bed too hard. Mine's too soft. What was that? Look, Goldilocks, wasn't it? No, it was Three Bears. Same one thing, wasn't it? We're like baby Barry, and it's just right. Hallelujah. We're not going to preach on Goldilocks. We're going to preach on the Three Bears. No, let me see. I had some scripture wrote down here. Matthew chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. I got about 20 scriptures, so I don't know which one to go to. On the same day, Jesus went out in the house and sat down by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell on the wayside. The birds came and ate them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. They wasn't planted that deep, so they come up quicker. Being a farmer, I understand that totally. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered and died quick. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. That's why we'd have to go through the fields and take a hoe and chop out corn and tomatoes and tobacco and everything. We had to do that all the time. We had to plow it, and had to keep the weeds out. Jesus here called it thorns. If you don't keep the weeds out, it'll choke your crop out, and you won't get a harvest. It'll choke the crop. There's something about weeds. You don't have to fertilize them. You don't have to help them grow. They'll just grow. They'll grow anywhere. You know, I was studying the other day and studying about the mustard seed, and they said the mustard seed, I've heard it called many things, but one commentary I like said it was a type of weed, and said the mustard seed was very hardy and would grow anywhere. Said grow anywhere. So Jesus compared our faith to a mustard seed, saying it'll grow anywhere. No matter where it's at, it'll grow anywhere. And it's little, and if you'll just plant it, it'll grow. Amen? So I like that. And he said the thorns sprang up and choked them out. Weeds did. You can say weeds or whatever. They sprang up, and from where, no one knows. Nobody planted them. And you can kill all of them around and spray them and everything. Next year they'll be there again. Weeds. Now, your good crops, stuff won't do that. You know, if it did, we wouldn't have to plant anything. We just go out and let it grow. Weeds, they'll just take the thing over. Amen? They'll choke it out. You're talking about your seed, the Word of God here. But some fell on good ground, yielded crop some 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. Now, we plant seed, and I can still do that. I'd rather take seed in my hand or fertilize in my hand than I would a spreader. I can spread it better. I've thrown so much in my lifetime as a kid. And you get like this, and I can throw it like this, and I can put it down just as even as you can with a spreader. I can throw it just as even and get it just, it's called broadcasting. It's what we called it on the farm, broadcasting seed or broadcasting fertilizer. It's somehow we call the gospel broadcasting. Broadcasting. But that's what we'd call it. I didn't know that was in the Bible, but I can sow that seed and I can do it. I can throw it just within an inch of wherever I want to throw it. Just I threw so much of it, and what's daddy, he could do that. And I could sow fertilizer like that around the plant, it not even touch the plant. You sow enough 100-pound bags of stuff, you get kind of good at it, you know. But I know exactly what that is. And when you're sowing those seed like that, the wind will catch them, and they'll blow them over here and blow them over there, and it'll blow them past where you fix the ground, the good soil. And they'll come up, but they won't last. But the good soil is where they produce. And he's talking about broadcasting as I sow the word up here. That's broadcasting it out there. And the word goes out, and the seed goes out, and it falls on good ground. Now, some people here that come, their ground's hard. They have a hard heart. It's amazing. Some people have been coming here a long time. I was talking about, if they've ever been affected that much by the word, I don't know it. A very little bit. But if they've ever been really changed or affected by the word to where they produce any fruit at all, I don't know it. Some people like that, just hard-hearted. That's why it's so important we have to keep a tender heart. You have to. It's up to you about your soul. That's not up to God. Your heart's a soul. It's up to you how your heart is. Remember, Jesus told the disciples their heart had got hard because of the miracle he did of feeding the 4,000. How can your heart get hard watching a miracle? Not grabbing hold of it and not receiving it for what it is, not praising God, not meditating on it. Say, wow, thank God, you know. Moses went to Egypt and God performed miracles, 10 miraculous miracles. I mean some signs. God attacked every god in Egypt. He overthrew every god, everything they worshiped in Egypt. He overthrew that with a miracle. Did all kind of miraculous things. You'd think after seeing all those miracles, those people would be wound up. They'd be great Christians. Are great believers. They'd say, my goodness, God's big. He's with us. We can do anything. Only two of them out of all those millions of Jews got it. All the miracles didn't affect them at all. And we think if we could just see miracles. Miracles won't change you. Miracle won't change you at all. The only thing that will affect you is the Word of God. Now, I like to see miracles, but it didn't help all those millions of Jews. The only two that got it was Joshua and Caleb, and they heard the Word. They got the Word, and they said, we're able. The rest of them got nothing, and they saw all those miracles. And didn't get a thing, didn't affect them at all. So for people to say, well, if we could just see miracles, then that's all we need is miracles to come to the church. And people would start repenting, and no, they won't. God even said it like this, or Abraham told the rich man in hell, said, if they're not going to believe the preaching of the gospel, they're not going to believe you if you come back from the dead. You'd think, well, if somebody was to die and stay dead about a week and get out of the grave and come in here and start walking around, everybody in this city would get saved. Not according to the Bible. He said, but they won't come and listen to the preaching of the word. They'd come out to, you know, like going to the circus. They'd go out to see the show. But that's all it'd be. It's somehow God said, without the word, you know, nothing happens. And he said, some people receive it. Notice what he said. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear. Well, that's the same problem we have today. And one thing, we get familiar with the preacher, get familiar with the word, get familiar with sermons. And when you start preaching, it don't help at all. Don't do anything for people. It's sad. That's why John said, I have no greater joy than know my children walk in truth, walk in the word. You know, when you walk in the word, that's when your life will change. Walking in the word simply means you do it. You do it. You hear preaching and you get up and go do it. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Well, he didn't say to us. He said to them. And if you read and study the disciples, they didn't get anything out of the parables. There's always going to him and saying, tell us what that meant. We didn't know what you meant. But he spoke in parables, and Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery. The mysteries are the secrets of the kingdom of God. In the New Testament, is the only time, now this was really the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come out of the grave yet, so the New Covenant hadn't been birthed. So he is still preaching under the Old Covenant, but he is talking about the church, the New Covenant. And anytime you hear the word mystery, it belongs to the church. It didn't belong to the Old Testament, it belonged to the church. He referred to the things out of the church as mystery. It belongs to the church. That's why you can't read Matthew 24 and apply that to the church. You have to go over what Paul said about the end times. He talked about the mysteries, the secret things that's revealed. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not going to fool with them. I'm not going to fool with them. If they want to hear, let them come and let them act like they want it and come after me and hear, then I'll give it to them. And so if you study the Bible, Jesus never ran after anybody. He never went to their home and ran after them and said, will you please come back to church? Will you please come? No, Jesus said, if you want it, come on. If you don't, I'm not fooling with you. If you don't show an effort, now the lost is different, because he hounds the lost and he goes after us. He came after us when we were lost. We didn't go after him. He came after us. He called us. He went after us. And so you better thank God for that, because you didn't wake up one morning and say, well, I think I'll get saved today. No, the Holy Spirit ran you down and tackled you, tied you up and drug you to church. So now there, get saved. I got him, Lord. I got another one. Then when we get saved, he said, that's it. I'm not running you anymore. Now you chase after God. If you want it, you chase after God. And the more you chase after him, the more you get. Prove it to you in the next verse. For whosoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have an abundance. Now that's what I want to talk to you about. You will have an abundance. you will have overflow, more than enough. You live in the land of plenty. You live in the land of abundance. You live in the land where your barrel is full to the top and overflowing, that you'll have more than enough. Now, notice, everybody doesn't qualify for that. Did you know that? Everybody doesn't qualify for it. Him that has, more will be given him, and he will live in the overflow. Now, what's that mean? The fellow that gets it and stays with it and keeps it and goes on for more. The fellow that loses what he had, he won't have nothing. Well, you know, I go to church sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Well, that's pretty good preaching, wasn't it? Yeah, he's pretty good preaching. Oh, he was after today, wasn't he? Boy, he's going after him today. Listen, Pastor, he's really mad today, or he's really on his soap bar here. You know, they're not getting anything. You have to listen. Notice what Jesus said. If you have ears to hear, listen. You listen with attentive ears to say, what I need to do? What I need to do? And the pastor or the word or the teacher or whoever, prophet, begins to speak and says, do this. The word says this. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. Well, we heard that, and we do it. I know, I see what he says. I don't understand it, but I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start giving. All right? And you start giving, and you have it. You have. And to him that have, more will be given. More what? Revelation. More of the word. And the more he's given, the more he does it. And he got it again. That's why I was always afraid's not a good word, but I guess that's what it was. To miss a church service. Especially if we had a special minister or preacher or anything. I didn't want to miss some instruction. Especially if somebody gave a prophecy. If I didn't make the church and Catholic church, I said, what'd they say? What'd they do? Did somebody give a word? What'd they say? I want to hear. I want to know. That's why I spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of travel going to meetings. Brother Hagin and anybody, and Brother Norvels, I went to hundreds of, and I'd listen. And they instruct me. Don't ever think because you heard something one time, you got it. You don't have it. He that has it, more will be given. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith will come. Faith doesn't come by having heard. There's a fellow dying one time of cancer with the church all the time, with church with his counselor. So I went and see him. A fellow wanted me to go with him and pray for him. And well, we went and I took him some tapes. I took him some by Norval and How to Live and Not Die. And took him some by Brother Hagin and things. He should have known these things with the same church I did. But he never listened to any tapes. As far as I know, he never listened to any tapes, never read any books. He listened to the pastor, what he preached. But if all you ever listen to is the pastor preach on Sunday morning, you're not going to hear very much of the instruction from the Word of God because you don't have time. And there's many people on so many different levels, you just have to do a shotgun, you know, and just touch on a little everything. And more, what you do more than anything is exhort people to keep after it, to point them in the right direction and give them an opportunity. And far as I know, if he ever listened to any tapes, read any books, he didn't do any of it. And I gave him a set of Norval's tapes. You know what he said? I don't much like him. You don't much like Norval. I'm not asking you to like him. I'm asking you to listen. And I gave him one by Charles Capps, little book, and he said, I've read that. You know what happened to him? Well, we prayed. But I knew it wouldn't do any good. Wasn't any use praying for him, but I prayed just, you know, to pray. Just wanted to be nice. We don't need praying. He didn't have anything. He didn't have it. That's what happens to most people. They'll hear a sermon where Jesus will heal you. It's his will to heal. And they'll hear a little one little sermon on confession, and they think they've got it. And so they'll have the word police, and they'll say, don't say that, don't say that. That tells me the first thing they don't know what they're doing. Tells me the first thing they don't have a clue what they're doing. Don't say that. You don't know what you're doing. You don't have a clue. If you understood it, you wouldn't freak out if somebody said something wrong. Don't have anything to do with faith in my heart if you say something wrong. Don't have a thing to do with faith in my heart. It's my faith. It's my heart. I'm the one believing. If you don't agree with me, great. But you can say whatever you want to say. It's not going to affect my faith. Now, if I believe what you said, you look like you're dying. You look like you're really sick. Look like there's giants in the land. Yeah, no kidding. There's giants in the land. But we're able. You know, you got to understand, you know. And he that hath, Jesus said. Now he's talking about the secret, the mystery, the kingdom, the keys to it, getting it. First thing is you got to hear. You got to pay attention. You can't listen to anything one time and think you got it. Dear Lord, I've heard sermons and faith messages hundreds of times and still don't have it like I need to. But he that has it, when you get it, more will be given. That's like in school. Everything works that way. You don't go to second grade, you pass first grade. Well, you used to, you didn't. You can now, you know. And if he has, more will be given to him. And notice what he says here. And he will have abundance. He will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, or they don't understand. If they hear and they have, they can live in the overflow. Live in the overflow. Praise the name of Jesus. Live in the overflow. Now, Jesus said over in John 10:10, you don't have to turn there because you know that he said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I come that you might live in the overflow. I come that you might live to where your barrel is running over in life. Now that's the will of God. Well, how do we get there? Dear God, I want to know that. I want to know that. See, I told Pam Barbie one time, you know, she said something about she didn't know how to believe God. I said, well, I can teach you. I can teach you real quick how to believe God. Just when you get paid Friday, drop your check off down here. Just leave it here. You'll learn how to believe God or die. That's how I was. I didn't have any other way getting out of the hole, except I had to hear. I had to have more given to me. So I went to one meet and I got something. And I said, I don't have it all. I don't have it all. I got to get more. I don't understand people laying out of church. You say, well, I've heard that message. I've heard that. Yeah, you've heard that. And tells me what people depend on is their job or the world or resources or whatever. But you see, I had to hear. Thank God I did. I had to hear. I had to have more given to me. But thank God it began to click. Then I thought, he wants me to have an abundant life. He wants me to live in the overflow. He doesn't want me to live. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, it's in the Word. Ephesians chapter 3. You know what that says? Look in verse 17. It's good to see it, even though we've heard it. 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Hallelujah. That you being rooted and grounded in love. See, that's what happens. When you start hearing the Word, you get rooted and grounded in love. Now, that what he say about good ground? It has the potential to cause you to grow roots. The deeper you root, the stronger the plant. But what are you grounded in? You have to be grounded in love. Grounded in love. Love. Faith worketh by love. Love. It's the most important thing. They asked Brother Hagin how he'd like to be remembered. I think surely as the apostle of faith or the father of the faith movement or taught us all faith. He said, I want to be remembered as a man who walked in love. Well, he knew the Bible. That's what Jesus told us, the main thing. Get love. See, so I began to think, well, if I want to live an abundant life or get out of the hole or live in the overflow, I'm going to have to work on my love walk, not just my faith walk. We think faith is the goal. No, love is the goal. Faith will come. If you get love, you'll get faith. You get love, you'll get faith, and more will be given to you if you get love. That's the most important thing. Paul said if you have, you can do all these things, you don't have love, you don't profit. Well, I want to profit. Living in the overflow means profit. Amen? God can't bless you if you don't walk in love toward your brethren. He can't when he might answer your prayer. It's a must. Amen? You got to be rooted and grounded in love. So I used to, you know, study faith all the time. Studied faith. Lord, I got to get my faith. Then he began to deal with me. No, son, you need to walk in love. I don't want to love nobody. I just want to have faith where I can believe God, get stuff, you know, and be independent and all that. Don't love nobody. I don't want to fool people. I don't want to. No. You got the cart before the horse. That won't work. It won't work. Quit studying on faith, study on love. And the more you have, the more you'll get. Then your whole attitude in life changes. The way you look at everything changes. You'll begin to read the Word and it'll come alive to you. It's like, wow, I never saw that before. There's a purpose to your life. There's a purpose to your living. There's a purpose to your prosperity. There's a purpose for your anointing. There's a purpose. What is that purpose? You love. You love one another. You love each other. You want to help each other. You want to give to each other. Then you go around saying, Lord, I need a lot of money where I have a big house and a big car and I can be like everybody else and I can have a bigger house and a bigger car. You got it wrong. You got it all wrong. And when you get love, it's saying, Lord, I need $1 million. I need to help people. I need $2 million. I don't need to help more people. Yourself dies. You die to yourself. That's why if you don't die to self, you abide alone. But when you begin to walk in love, you have a whole new reason for living. Fear leaves. Fear. You know what main problem is insecurity. You know what insecurity is? Fear of man. We're so concerned with what people think about us. So concerned with how we look before man. Creates an insecureness. If you don't care, just my whole goal is just to love you. You can't be insecure in that. I was praying one time. I gave some money away and all this and done everything. I thought, dear God, I think I missed it. And the Lord told me, he said, well, and he instructed me about giving and things. He said, well, don't be too quick to give. I'd rather you wait till I instructed you in a long time to giving. But he said, son, I'd rather you miss it on the good side and on the bad side. You can't miss it. He told me, he said, you can't miss it, giving. Even if I wanted you to give it over here and you gave it over, you still get a blessing. You still get a reward, but you won't get the reward of obedience like you would over here. But you can't miss it. I'd rather miss it doing good. I'd rather love wrong. If there's anything, if that's possible. I just go love everybody. Yeah, but you shouldn't be so trusting and believing everybody. Why not? I'd rather be a believer than a doubter. I'd just rather believe you. If I know you're lying, I'd still rather just say, well, you know, be a believer. You have to practice believing. You know it? Hallelujah. Where are we at? Ephesians. That you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able, once you're grounded in love, you might be able to comprehend. See, that's our problem. We can't comprehend. We don't have, we lose what we have, we can't get any more because we don't comprehend. We can't grasp what we hear. We can't get a hold of it. I can't get it. Problem is there a love thing here, a love walk. And said, if you're rooted and grounded in love, you'll comprehend. That's what I said. You're reading the Bible and say, I comprehend, oh, yes. Hey, I comprehend that. I used to couldn't comprehend. Now, Lord, I understand. Remember what he said over there about understanding? I understand, Lord. I understand what my purpose is. I understand what I'm doing. I understand what it's about. You comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ. Dear Lord, if we could just grasp that, you'd get healed that quick. If you could grasp the love of Christ, your needs would be met that quick. Everything would be, if we just grasp how much he loves us. If we could just comprehend how much he loves us and understand Jesus, it would be no problem loving people. I heard a lady on 700 Club the other day giving a testimony. I don't remember if she married or was anyway, she got pregnant. And she was such a wreck in her life. And she was such a mess that she did not want to bring that baby into that mess and bring that baby into her life. And she couldn't take care of it and all that. So she went and had an abortion and said she cried for days and days after that. And she said she'd lay awake at night thinking, was it a boy? Was it a girl? What did it look like? What color was its eyes? And said she cried and she wept and she never relationship, nothing worked. She hated herself, and she knew God hated her. And she couldn't get forgiveness. She couldn't get born again. Even she went to church and everything, you know, tried to, you know, she got saved and tried to, she hated herself, and she was so depressed and so discouraged. And one day, Jesus gave her a vision. And she looked and saw Jesus out in front of her, sitting on a rock, and he was laughing so hard. Said he would bend back and laugh, and he would lean over and laugh. And she looked, and what he was laughing about, this little girl was in front of him playing. And said, she looked at her, and the little girl ran so far and said, "Mommy, don't be sad because you gave me up." And she saw her, and Jesus was there, and he said, "I forgive you. It's okay." And she saw that little girl. And see, after all she did, Jesus, the love of Jesus changed her. And God sent a man into her life, and they'd been married for years. And she said, "I've been so happy every day, every day." And the little girls ran to her and said, "Mommy, I understand. It's okay." And Jesus sitting there laughing, having the best time ever was out of her sin, her failure, her mess. He didn't look at it like she did. Amen? Even though it's done wrong and all that, she couldn't forgive herself. If we could comprehend how much he loves us, if we could just grab a hold of it, we wouldn't resist. We resist Jesus, and we don't know we're resisting. Because we don't know how to receive. We don't know he loves us that much. We don't know, really, that he wants us to live in an overflow. Live in abundance. Have stuff. We don't know that. So we resist it because we let people dictate to us how we're supposed to act or how we think we're supposed to act because we think that's what they look at us and that's how I need to act for the people. I don't need to do that because of what they'll say about me or what they'll think about me or what they won't understand me or they won't accept me. Who cares? If we could just comprehend that Jesus loves us, and it's his will. It's his will to bless us. It's his will to help us. It's his will. He said, if you ever get rooted in this love, you can comprehend. Wow. Now notice, to know the love of Christ, which passes our knowledge, it's beyond our thinking, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you see the process there? 1, 2, 3. To know, be grounded in love, that you have grasped. See, we can't love others if we don't love ourselves. We can't forgive if we can't forgive ourselves. We can't help others if we can't help ourselves. How are you going to let God bless you if we can't think, "Well, I'm not worthy. What will people think? I'm not worthy. I've messed up. I've done all these things. It's bad." And I think Jesus sitting out there on that rock, that little girl laughing and laughing because she was playing in this, playing in some kind of game, she said. And she was just laughing. And she saw her and she ran to her, and the prettiest little old girl. She said, "Mommy, it's okay." Changed her whole world because she comprehended Jesus' love. See, he's not mad at us. He's not trying to get us. We don't know that because we don't know how to love ourselves. We don't know how to understand love. I didn't for years. Still don't really know how to comprehend the whole depth. You mean, Lord, you mean you love me that much that you want me to have all this stuff? We might can say, well, I know he wants to heal me and I can get healed, but I don't know if he really wants to prosper me. Because you know how it looks and how this, and preachers are not supposed to prosper. I'm not, you know, and we can't comprehend that he just wants to give you cookies and bless you. I mean, Morgan doesn't have any problem really comprehending that, you know, she just comes to me. Whatever I got, you know, she can have. Anybody have to sneak around and give it to her. How much more, the Bible says. Now notice what else it goes on to say. You'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness. Wow. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think, according to the power that's working in us. Well, what power's working in us? He just got, see, it's a step. He's bringing us through steps here. That power working in you is that love. That he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now, you talk about overflow. Now, that's overflow. We give and we sing about it and all that, but he really wants us to be in overflow. Amen? Why? Well, you got to get the love thing down. You got to know that you know how much he loves us. We're not greedy. We're not selfish and all that. See? abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power. To him be the glory in the church. Hallelujah. By Christ to all generations forever. Hallelujah. Look in Psalms 23. You know this, so I'm good. Hallelujah. I like this. David knew something about it. David comprehended the love of God somewhat. That's why David was so easily to repent. And he was so easily to forgive himself. David had two qualities that I really admire. He was quick to repent, and he was quick to forgive himself. Now, you think about it, that's our problem. We can ask God to forgive us, and the Bible says if we ask, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But forgiving ourselves is the problem. We think we have to be whipped or beat up, or it can't be this easy. Well, I mean, you know, we can't abuse that or take it for granted. You know what I mean? If you're truly sorry, if you're truly repentant, he said, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Now let's get up, let's go. That's what David did. He tried to keep his child alive before God, and he died. And he said, well, he got up, took a shower, and cleaned himself up, went in and had another baby. Really? That's what he did. Had Solomon. Went back to being king. He said, well, we got work to do, boys. Let's get with it. Now, he paid the price for it. But he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't quit being king. He dealt with it. He walked through it. Even when his kids turned against him and all that, he just kept. Amen? We have to know how to forgive ourselves. And if you can do that, you can forgive other people. Mercy begets mercy. Grace begets grace. Judgment begets judgment. You're around judging people, and you're going to have a judgmental attitude toward yourself. No unworthiness on you all the time because you're judgmental toward people. You never feel good about yourself. Psalms 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Wow. If we comprehend it, that one verse would fly. I shall not want. Glory. A little sheep don't think about whether or not it's going to be fed. It just listens to the voice of the shepherd. And he leads them where they eat good. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Not mine. Remember I preached on that one time? For his name's sake. He's committed to us. See, he's obligated himself to us. We're his kids. What kind of reputation is he going to have like Moses told him when he's going to kill them all? He said, now what's people going to think about you? He said, they're going to say, all the people in him are going to say, now he couldn't take care of them. He couldn't bring them into the promised land. So he brought them out of Egypt, bring them out here and kill them. Now what kind of reputation are you going to have, God, among the heathen like God cared? And he said, okay, Moses, if you're that concerned about my reputation, you can have them. But notice he said, he takes care of me for his name's sake. His name is on me. His name is on me. I have his name. I'm in his family. He's responsible for me. And to have a good reputation, my God, and we sing about him. We rejoice, we raise our hand. Our God is good. Our God is merciful. Our God is kind. We love him. He's our healer, our provider, and all that. If we declare that and sing that and do all that, he don't do it. What kind of name's he going to have? When we start doing all that, he backs it up. He leads me for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Now, you need to know that when you're in a battle. Sometimes you're in battles. You got to know that God is leading you. Sometimes in the middle of it, that's where he's going to meet your need and feed you in the face of the devil. I think about that when we're praying for the president. And all that's going on and all the enemies he's have, God sets a table in the midst of them. He just sets a table right in the middle of them and just takes good care of him. And he said, what's this? He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Notice the overflow. You anoint my head with oil, surely goodness and mercy. I must miss. Where does it say my cup runneth over? Verse 5. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, yeah. I ain't got to it yet. My cup runs over. I forgot so many notes around this. I can't read the scripture. Oh, yeah, that's a good note I've got here. Wow, I wish you just had this in your Bible. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. You know, I wrote here, faith, how big is your cup? Expectation. You're responsible for the cup. Notice he said, my cup runs over. How big's your cup? How much you believe in God for? above what you're able to think. Well, I'm just expecting, you know, I got a little cup, he's going to make that run. No, I'm getting a big cup. You're responsible for the cup. Hallelujah. My cup runs over. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, you give a lot, you get a lot. You give a little cup, you get a little cup. You give a little bucket, you get a little bucket. You bring a truck load, you get a truck load. It's up to you how you give. So the bucket or the cup is your responsibility. In other words, I'm bringing in a big cup to give. And he fills my cup up and runs it over. Overflow. Amen. My cup runs. Surely goodness, mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I wrote here at the end of these, every one of them, for your name's sake. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever for your name's sake. My cup runneth over for your name's sake. Surely goodness and mercy for your name's sake. I will not fear any evil for your name's sake. I wrote that out after each one of them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heed. Praise the Lord. That's another good one. For his name's sake, he does it for himself, not for us. Praise the Lord. He does it for himself. Praise God. I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. David said in Psalm 64:1, said, he has delivered me from the fear of the enemy. See, that's what we need to be delivered from, not the enemy, it's the fear of the enemy. Praise the Lord. I had a lot of other scriptures, but you can't read them anyway. Hallelujah. I was going to tell you about Luke chapter 5. You remember when Jesus told Peter, said, let me borrow your boat. And when he gave him his boat, guess what happened? Peter then, after he gave, stepped over into the overflow because Jesus said, now go fishing. And the boat that he had filled up. The size boat he had filled up, and it was sinking. Well, if it had a bigger boat, he'd have had more fish. If it had a smaller boat, he'd have had less fish. Size of the boat that we give him to use. Amen? Well, stand up with me. Did you enjoy that? Praise the Lord. How big's your cup? Hallelujah. You measure it out. Just measure it back to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? You give out of what you have, your cup. You measure it out. It's all totally up to you. How much overflow you walk in. Now you have to believe that. And it takes faith to believe that. We say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I believe what you're saying, preacher. But now put it to the test. You try. You put it to the test. Like I told you last Sunday or sometime, how you prove God is this. When you get back more than you gave. That's how you prove God. Malachi 3, prove me now in this. You get back more than you gave. That's the only way you can prove it. You can't prove it any other way. You have to get back more than you gave. Then you prove it, and you tell everybody, guess what? I got back more than I gave. I proved it. Amen? And God's in heaven clapping for you. Pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can live and walk in the overflow. We can live in abundance. We can have more than enough. We read in Ephesians where we can have the fullness of God. The fullness. That's healing. That's prosperity. That's joy. That's peace. Everything comes from heaven we can have. But it starts with our foundation. We have to have the foundation of love. Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded in love. And we get that, Lord, things will happen for us. Bless the people tonight, Lord, that they may comprehend your love. bless them. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.